Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another special More Than Mom episode of the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah, you ready to have some fun and let me take control for a while?
I am. Drive the bus,
okay.
Megan.
So we're going to be doing these special episodes every so often, and they're a little different in that they're not going to be as outlined, and Sarah is not going to be the boss.
I mean, it's really hard for me.
You're still the boss. But that just means they're going to be a little more casual. Like, we're looking at these as casual chats, so they're not going to take the place of our episodes that are more, you know, tip and resource heavy. It's just kind of like us getting together to casually talk about whatever. Last time we talked about nostalgic beauty products from the 80s and 90s and 2000s. And today we're going to talk about social media. So we're really going to be all over the place with these. We think they're going to be a lot of fun. But before we get into talking about social media, we want to talk about our sponsor, Kind.
Yeah, we love Kind, and I love that they are sponsoring this More Than Mom series for March because they are totally our Just for Mom snack. So I'm sure you have seen Kind bars in your grocery stores and gyms and Starbucks. They make delicious, healthy snacks using whole ingredients you can recognize and pronounce. And even better, they have the Kind Snack Club, which sends you snacks at a discount every month so that you don't even have to worry about where you're picking up your Kind snack bars. I just switched my subscription, actually, because I was getting, you know, a little tired of my favorite flavor. So I switched it up to the Kind Healthy Grains Bar Variety Pack, which means once a month I will get that variety pack in the mail and have my own snacks to kind of stash away in my purse. It's, for me, it's like a mid-morning pick-me-up. That's when I heavily rely on the Kind bars.
Yeah, I love it. And as you know, Kind bars have saved my life on several occasions. So if you are ready to try them out, we have got a special deal for you. You can try 10 full-size Kind bars for free. All you have to pay is shipping. So go to kindsnacks.com/mom. That's kindsnacks.com/mom for full details. And again, all you do is pay shipping. You're going to get 10 full-sized Kind bars for free.
Yeah, and it's a super fun variety pack to try all those fun flavors you don't see in stores. Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm not in charge, Megan.
See, oh, right. And I was ready to let you take over. And oh, my gosh, like I have to take over now. Well, it's kind of funny because even though I'm supposed to be driving the outline or the bus, you're the one who made the outline. But because
I know I tried not to.
You tried. You couldn't help yourself. It's fine. Well, we are talking about social media. And, you know, we did an episode not too long ago. Well, actually, maybe it was a long time ago. When was that episode? The one that we did about like choosing your media wisely and media consumption?
Oh, yeah. It was like consumption. Our second episode ever. So it's like 3 years
ago. Are you serious? Okay. So it's been a bit. So we talked more there about, I don't know, like kind of keeping it from taking over your life, strategies for, you know, not getting too far down the rabbit hole. But we didn't really talk too much about just like social media as a fun thing.
Yeah, what we like.
You know,
like,
what we like about it.
Where we end up.
Like, right, exactly.
Where we hang out online.
So I want to give my trajectory a little bit about my social media use. Because I just think it's really interesting where I started and where I've wound up. So I was a hardcore Twitter user. That was really the first social platform I ever used was Twitter.
So give me a date. Like Anchor.
2007.
Okay.
2007, maybe late 2007, 2008. I remember hearing about it and thinking it was really dumb. And at the time, I want to say Facebook was a thing, but like people weren't really active on it in my circles as much. It was just kind of there. And people
remember
would...
it was very driven by where you went to college.
And yes.
Because you had to have a call. That's how it started.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think
social network. Yeah.
I think around 2007 or 2008 is when they had just opened it up.
Yes.
But it took a long time for my people to really get into Facebook. MySpace was still a thing, but I never got into MySpace. I tried.
Or Friendster.
Oh, okay. Wait, I was on Friendster. I was on Friendster like in 2003.
Oh, wow.
Or 2004. It's like I didn't understand social media. I was used to forums and email lists.
Okay.
And those
were kind of an early form, right?
They were, but they were like long form. People, they had their own language. Like I remember very clearly the conventions that you'd pick up on. Like if basically everything you wanted to say was in the subject line of the post and there was no reason for someone to open the post, you would put NT at the end, no text. because people were still using really slow dial-up. So if you didn't do that, they might open the thread and then sit there and wait for it to load and then realize you didn't say anything.
Interesting.
Like everything was. So there were like short form ways to communicate in forums. Oh, in chats. I was in an IRC chat and stuff like that. But it just wasn't, it wasn't the same because it didn't like, there wasn't like one place to go and see everybody.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. We're like an aggregate, like a watering hole.
Yeah. You had to go to your specific, you had to go up to your specific like forum and check that forum. And then if you wanted to talk about something else, you had to go to a different forum. Right. And so everybody had these like silos that they were in. So that was very early. And Twitter was my first experience really diving into the idea of mass communication in a speedy way. And I thought it was really dumb. And then I got into it and I loved it. Like Twitter was my playground. I would be on there for, I think I have, like now I never tweet, but I think last time I checked to see how many tweets I've ever sent, it's like 30,000 tweets. That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot of tweets. But I would just get, I would just jump in and you'd have conversations. Like there was entire actual dialogue happening in Twitter and it was really, really fun. And this was when my kids were little and especially when Clara was a baby, I remember staying up late nursing and tweeting my little heart out.
And you were on your computer, correct?
I was on my computer.
Because that's so much of, I think what's different about how I came to Twitter, Twitter in particular, was all mobile for me. In fact, I still like have no, I feel totally foreign when I look at desktop Twitter.
Yeah.
And even though you don't use Twitter as much anymore, I actually think it's a great mobile platform. But anyway, but I'm just, because in my mind it's so mobile, but you were on a computer, desktop or laptop.
Yeah, right. I was always, almost always on my computer. In fact, in those days, everybody was starting to sign up for Instagram, like I want to say around 2009, 2010. Yep, yep. That was when that was starting to get. And I really resented that it was mobile only.
Yeah.
And I did not use it regularly until like 2014, 2015. I just didn't like the idea that I had to be on my phone. I was very phone resistant.
Yeah.
When it came to
stuff. You still are. I mean, you still prefer to be on your computer, I think. You're not.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah,
you don't use your phone to get things done or like.
No, I hate it.
Yeah.
Like if I have to order plane tickets, I would never do that on my phone.
Right.
Something like that. Like order, you know, clothes or something. That would drive me crazy. So yes, I really still like computer oriented messaging platforms. Mm-hmm. But I have gotten into Instagram. And I'm going to say unfortunately, because I kind of hate that I'm on Facebook so much. And it's just, it became a thing where like everybody went there. So I went there and was like, well, I guess I have to do whatever, you know, this is where all the people are. This is where all the conversation is happening. It's still not to me the most intuitive platform, and I don't like having pictures and stories and all that like all mixed up in my feed.
Right.
I kind of like when I go to Instagram, it's just pretty pictures, and I love Instagram a lot now. And I like when I go to Twitter, which I forget to do because now I feel like everything on there is advertising. But when I go there, I like that it's just text, or mostly just text.
Yeah,
I don't like too much mixing. So there you go. There's my like 10 years of or however many years of social media in kind of a little nutshell.
Yeah. That's so interesting. When you, do you like Facebook though? Like, I'm curious, like you, you say you end up there a lot. It's
no, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to be there.
Yeah. I hear that from a lot of people.
And so stuff like, for example, I'm in a play and all of our rehearsal information is on Facebook. So if you're not on Facebook, you don't find out if something gets canceled. Like you just don't know. And so I feel like I have to check it.
Yeah.
And then I get sucked in and I feel like it can be a very negative place. Like I just, it's just a, you know, it's just a tool.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's hard because of the size of it and how many people are on it. It's hard to really like corral it for your own best use.
Yeah.
I think I was able to do that to some degree with Twitter. At one point I went through and I like unfollowed everybody, like every single account. And then I slowly added stuff back, and it's kind of slow right now. I would like to get back into Twitter at some point because I just think it's a really interesting platform. So I was able to have some control over that. One day I decided I would like to just unfriend a bunch of people on Facebook that I haven't communicated with in a while, and just the process of unfriending people took forever. I finally just gave up.
I do feel like there's like tips and tricks you always read to make your news feed more how you want it, but it's almost like Facebook makes it purposefully
difficult to do. And it takes a long time. It's time consuming. And I've heard that too. Like if you like certain pages, you'll see those pages more often. And it all makes sense. But how much time can I really devote in my life to like, I don't know, managing a social, like one social platform.
Right.
So anyway, so there's all that. So, oh, and I should tell you, I still can't figure out Snapchat.
But you've tried. I've tried.
No, I've tried on multiple occasions. It makes absolutely, like, I feel so old when I'm on Snapchat. It makes no sense to me. I don't get it at all.
And even now, well, I'm going to out you, but you've talked about this publicly. Even now that you have learned some online dating apps on your phone, I feel like that's like the same target, the same millennial age group as Snapchat, and that hasn't helped at all. Snapchat,
no, because those apps work very simply.
They're dating ones.
The dating ones. You like swipe right, you swipe left. Okay. What I don't like about Snapchat is there's like stories. And like, so there's a way to directly communicate with somebody. Like I could snap just you, mm-hmm. or I could put out a public snap.
Right.
I don't find that the interface makes sense. I can never figure out which one I'm doing, which makes me really paranoid. Like, I don't know if I'm.
Yeah.
and then there's all these filters and things that people add. And I like can't remember how to add them. Like, it just, it's not so much the idea of Snapchat. I get what it is. But something about the interface is so not intuitive to me that I feel like every time I open it, I'm learning it again. Like I'm relearning something that I should have, and it should be super simple. Like children do it.
Right.
And maybe I'm not sufficiently motivated.
Yeah. I think well, I feel like every time a new social platform kind of like starts to crop up or get popular, like the big question is, why would I need another one? And it's a good question, but yet it's been pretty amazing to see there have been some new ones that have caught on. And so there's something, even though people have their core social media places where they hang out, sometimes these new ones pop up and they become popular. So it is interesting that like they serve some purpose to some people.
So have you made a really conscious decision not to get on Snapchat, or you just don't care?
No, I just didn't like feel like learning anything. And I love Instagram. And right around the time when I thought, so social media and work overlap a lot for me because, and that's not a bad thing. I actually, like, I love managing our social accounts for the Mom Hour, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Katie does Life Listened, except I do some Life Listened Twitter stuff because I think Twitter's a great place to connect with other podcasters. And I love Twitter on my phone. It's like, that's almost my preferred. Well, I shouldn't say that because I love Instagram. That's probably my favorite. But Twitter is a great, like, 30 seconds, like, space out. I will pull up Twitter and I'll just see if I have any notifications. Like, because I have three Twitters. I have myself at Powers of Mind, the Mom Hour, and Life Listened, all on my phone. And it's really easy to toggle back and forth. And I don't read it like you consume a feed. In fact, Brian, so my husband, this is interesting side note, has no Facebook. He has a Facebook, but literally doesn't even log on his birthday to see his birthday messages. Like never, ever, ever goes on. He should probably just delete his account. He does like Instagram, so he uses Instagram, although he was a later adopter of that. But he really, really enjoys Twitter, and mostly to consume news. So like political news. He's like a big science. He loves science news.
It is great for that kind of like soundbite stuff. If there's an event happening, Twitter's fantastic for following an
or
event.
A natural disaster. I talked recently about like my hometown had some natural disasters, and that Twitter is the place to be if something is happening live. But I guess where I was going with that is Brian really curates his Twitter feed, so he can actually go on and read everything that he's missed in the last half a day and read everybody's tweets. If I did that, I would like, I'd be there for 4 days because there's just, it's, I follow too many people. I follow people that it, like, I don't really care what they're posting. So I maybe not like, I'm not curating Twitter maybe the way you could, but I still like to pop on because I feel like it's, I don't know. It's just a variety of different things happening. It's easy. I post or retweet more political things on Twitter because I feel like it's a way to use your platform and use your voice that doesn't feel quite as loaded as Facebook to me.
I totally agree.
And it's probably because people I know in real life aren't really on Twitter. That's the truth is, like, if I'm being really honest, I care. I there's too much wrapped up in like one reshare of something that might get a firestorm started. I just would rather not bother. So I don't do that on Facebook, but I do on Twitter for some reason. And it feels, I have enough followers where I feel like, you know, this is an important way to share information I feel is important, to use my voice, to amplify what other people are saying. So I use it more that way, which is interesting because I don't use my other. So it's just different. Twitter's
this is
just
making
different.
Me really nostalgic for Twitter. And I remember,
to your point,
one of the things that I had a really hard time with when I started using more Facebook, and I kind of had to force myself. This was when it was like, look, I was blogging heavily. And it was like, this is where the conversation's happening. So if you're going to do this, you have to be on Facebook. So I did. But what I hated was the endless life cycle of a thread. Like Twitter, I felt like I was so much less of a rabbit hole because I would jump in, engage in a conversation if I wanted to, get out, and then it would die off generally pretty quickly. And Facebook, just like to your point, if I post something political, which lately I've been doing kind of a lot of because I'm just fed up with some things, people are going to come out of the woodwork and jump on. Like people I haven't spoken to in 20 years, suddenly now they have to speak to me, right? And they have to jump in and they have to like, and then their friends see the notifications and they're, so then they jump in. And then the next thing I know, like it just keeps going. Like it never stops. And I keep getting notified. So even if I don't care to go back or ignore my notifications, there's just this nagging feeling like I left a conversation unfinished.
Yeah.
And it keeps bumping to the top of the feed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, I don't like that about Facebook at all.
I agree. I thought I had another thought about Twitter.
While you're talking about Twitter, can I share something really quick?
Yeah.
Did you know that I was named one of the top 50 funniest moms on Twitter?
You were. Okay, so this is important.
Twice.
We need to discuss this because I know I've shared this a long time ago on a podcast episode, but I found Twitter when I had my second baby and got an iPhone. And so mobile was starting to get really good. And I was nursing a new baby. So it was mid 2010. And so Twitter had been around for a while, but really mom blogging was like really starting to, like, it was a thing. Like there were top 50, you know, Babbel had the list of top 50 mom bloggers. Like mom blogging was no longer new. It was like a few years running to where there were, like you said, lists, like 50 funniest moms on Twitter, top 50 mom bloggers. And I just like, I didn't really know at that time that I even wanted to get into that industry, but I was staying home. I started to stay home instead of work in a corporate environment. And I had an iPhone and I got Twitter on my iPhone and I just followed all of the people who were on lists like you. I guarantee like that's, I think I found your blog from a Babbel list, but I might have found the Babbel list from Twitter. Like it was all related. And I just sat there and read really funny, mostly snarky. I really liked like the snarky humor writers, like the more kind of irreverent and like you were like wholesomely funny. But you know what? On Twitter, you were edgier.
On
Twitter.
So they nominated me for this like top 50 funniest moms on Twitter thing. And I was like, well, that's cool. But part of the nomination, or part of like the award, like they put up a page that had like a little snippet about everybody, little profile, little bio, and then links to your funniest work.
Uh-huh.
So they wanted me to give them links to my funny blog posts. And I was like, oh, no, I don't write funny
blog
posts.
Yeah, you weren't a humor writer at all on your blog.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And so they were like, wait, none of this stuff is funny. And I was like, I know. On Twitter, I was quite hilarious. I was like good at like the cutting one liner.
Yes. And that's what I, and you know what that is? That still exists on Twitter. Well, I need you. Yeah. This is now my campaign to get you back on Twitter.
Okay. Cause I do think that the humor on Twitter and the timing,
it's great.
Is second to none. And it becomes like an art form, like
learning
to hone your thoughts down to 140 characters and just knowing like any social platform is, it's a language.
Yes.
And if you get out of the language, you get rusty and you have to get it and immerse yourself in it to really understand it. And I found Twitter to be really, really fun. And when I did it, I need to be back in.
Well, okay. So now I this like gave me like two more new thoughts. So in those years, I like tentatively would start tweeting myself too. So I had like a 2-year-old and a new baby. And like, I didn't have really an audience. I had like sort of started a blog. This was before I even took your writing class. So there was like, nobody I knew in real life was on Twitter. And I was just sort of like, I was mimicking or like emulating the funny moms on Twitter like you that I was following.
Yeah.
But what's funny is I use TimeHop now, which is that app that can show you all of your social media posts from on like on this day in history. So we're recording on February 25th. If I pulled up TimeHop, it would be everything I ever posted to any of my social accounts on February 25th of any year. So if you are an active social media user, you have to get TimeHop. It's better than Facebook's memories because that's just on Facebook. And I actually don't post a lot on Facebook, but TimeHop is everywhere. So now when I go into my TimeHop, I will see these tweets from mostly like 2010, 2011. And they're funny. I laugh at myself. So I get like on this day in history, I tweeted something snarky about like breastfeeding or like, and it's just a totally different time in my life.
That
and
is
it's
really
great.
Fun.
I crack myself up. I'll have to.
Well, I also tweeted a lot of like the funny crap my kids said.
Yes.
And like cute little moments about them. And I would love to have that back now.
You need time hop. It's all there. Okay. We really took a Twitter left turn, but that's okay.
A sharp left turn. Well, that's okay because this, you know, whole idea is that we can talk about whatever.
We can. And okay, so my final thing on Twitter is we do have some listeners who engage with us on Twitter on the Mom Hour, and I love it. Sometimes they, you know, will like retweet our show or like, but it's not a lot. We get most of our listener engagement on Instagram is probably the most active. And then after that, Facebook. So I would love if you guys are Twitter fans, and I think a lot of the people on Twitter are kind of industry folks, like either writers, journalists, other podcasters, that kind of thing. But definitely have a conversation with us on Twitter. Bring it
back. I would
love
that. Baby. Bring me back. Bring me back. I want back in. Well, I don't want to make this one too long. We went a little longer than we meant to last time. But I did want to say, are there like lesser known social media accounts that you use? We didn't even talk about Pinterest.
Can
I
we just
about
talk
Pinterest.
About that we both don't like it?
Right. We just don't like it. You're really good at Instagram stories, I've noticed. I'm still kind of trying to figure those out.
So it's very similar to Snapchat, I will say. So when you asked me about Snapchat, if that was a conscious decision, what I was going to say is right as I was thinking maybe I should get on Snapchat or get the Mom Hour on Snapchat, that's right when Instagram came out with stories. And I heard from multiple people like, this is basically exactly Snapchat. I was like, great. I don't have to join Snapchat.
Yeah.
I do. I love the stories. They are time consuming. So here's how I feel about them real quick is I really like the way people use them both for brands. And I do use Instagram definitely as a business owner and then personally, but I find them, they are supposed to be these short snippets, but I find them time consuming to make. And okay. I also find that they take me out of the present more than other ways I use social media because I am like a big take a picture and then later edit it and say something thoughtful about it on Instagram. That's how I like to use Instagram personally. But the stories are meant to be like real time. And I find that like more than anything else, it like takes me away from whatever I'm doing with my kids. And I'm not real hard on myself. Like I don't care if I'm Instagramming when my kids are around, but that in particular makes me feel like I'm just totally on my phone in a very like conspicuous way. Remember when we were in Phoenix, we were talking about, weren't we talking about like,
how awkward it is to like, when we're out or something, and then we're like, ugh, everyone knows that we're putting this on social media.
Yes. Like it's weird when people around you know that you're posting to social media or I think that's weird. Maybe that's
well, I think it's a little generational. I think we're not comfortable with it yet. We're just too old.
Yes.
We're not like the age where it's just accepted.
Right.
Like, there's still a little judgment around it. So,
right. I need to do it like in the privacy of my own house later and then post it, which really doesn't make it any better. I don't know. It just feels weird. Okay. I do like the stories, but I feel a little conflicted about them sometimes.
Well, I have not, as you can tell, have not gotten into stories because I let you do it.
Yeah.
You do it for me. And I don't use, for me, Instagram is very all over the place. Like I'll post randomly and then I won't post for weeks. And I flip through. That's like my happy place socially, like social media wise.
But I feel like you don't scroll through very often, do you?
No,
like,
I don't.
You don't open it. And I think it's the mobile thing again. You don't really like to
I'm
be
not mobile
phone.
Oriented. I just, no. I, you know, and honestly, I don't want to become more mobile oriented. I've thought about that before. Like maybe, you know, maybe I should just give it a little more effort. But, you know, I'm cool with not always having to look at a platform of some sort. So trying to resist much more of that.
To whatever
degree I can. But I guess if there's a takeaway here, it's I got to get on Twitter.
Yeah.
And do you think of Voxer as a social network?
No, I think of it more as a communication tool, but it is for sure one of the apps on my phone that I use the most, for sure.
Do you think it will ever become a social network?
You know,
do you think there will be an audio social network?
Well, so there's Bumper. Have you heard of that one? And there's
Anchor.fm. It's another one that I think is more like a mobile podcasting platform. But
and I think that's what Bumpers are, too. Like Bumpers are like audio tweets, kind of like you can do real short and people can follow you. So I'm sure our fellow podcasters even know. But yeah. And Voxer. So have you noticed on Voxer, by the way, listeners, if you don't know what we're talking about, Voxer is you just go look it up and check it out because it's our life. But have you noticed, Megan, if you go to your Voxer profile that you can have like a little like some audio there that's available for anybody to see, kind of like a bio, like kind of like, okay, you know, if you went to your Facebook page, you'd have some pictures and like your bio and your info. So I do almost feel like Voxer's trying to make it where you can like follow people and see what they post publicly almost. Yeah. I have never used it that way.
Well, but maybe that's how it will evolve. I think it's a great tool that obviously I have gotten like everybody I know to use it. So
yeah, and I feel like Voxer brands
is quite hot popping.
I feel like brands could use Voxer to make announcements or like interact with bands. I don't know. That would be very interesting. I know we have to wrap up, but do you have any thoughts on Facebook groups? Because this is a big, thing.
I love hate them.
Yeah.
Much like Facebook. I am a member of so many Facebook groups. I couldn't even tell you how many. There's just, it's ridiculous. I probably should go through and clean house because every production I've ever been a part of, every, you know, every class someone's ever set up that I've been part of or I've taught, every home party someone's put together, gosh, I feel like there's a group involved. Like there's always a group.
Are they still active though? I feel like I have
a lot of them are not. A lot
technically
of
I'm still in, but nothing happens.
Well, right. That's the thing. You're in them. They're just sitting there. They're not doing anything. But then every now and then someone will just randomly post in one. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah.
So I like that the notification structure is a little bit different. Like you see everything. And I do like that. It's really useful when it's something you really need to keep up on, but it can be a little overwhelming. And I think the etiquette is real shaky around Facebook groups. Like people will just randomly add you to stuff and then you don't really know what to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think like we talked about, there's a language and some norms associated with everything. And I really feel like Facebook groups almost are their own platform because I think the norms and the etiquette and the rules are different. I think some groups are run really, really well. I'll just shout out to the Podcast Movement, which is a conference we go to, but they have a Facebook group for podcasters. And I don't even think you don't have to have gone to the conference. So it's really not the conference. It's just for podcasters. It is huge. I mean, I think they have thousands and thousands of members, but it's really well moderated and they have people who like will chime in to answer. And the reason it's well run is because there's rules. Like you can't spam, you can't. And that's like one where there's good technical info discussed. But yeah, I feel like the groups could take over your whole feed. I kind of love hate too. You can, I do unsubscribe from notifications for some groups. And then that way, if I want to go see what's happening, I can, but it's not coming up in my feed. So
I also want to mention Facebook Live since we're talking about Facebook.
Yeah.
So while I am, as you can tell, a little bit ambivalent about Facebook, I actually love Facebook Live. There's something about that to me that is really fun.
Do you watch a lot of other people's Facebook Lives?
Interestingly, I have started to watch more of them. They do pop up, but they get prioritized in your feed. And I don't watch them when it's like, I don't watch them when I'm, because I'm not video oriented. You know that. Like we've talked about that we both of us will avoid getting information from a video.
Yes.
If we can get it any other way.
Yes.
But I will find that sometimes like a friend of mine will pop up and they're doing a Facebook Live and I'm like, I wonder what they're up to. And I just check in. Johnny and I do them on the radio show.
Oh, that's right.
From every now and then. And we think they're really fun. So you and I have done them and I thought they were fun when you
think they're
them.
Fun.
So,
yeah. I feel
you get
super
really
awkward.
Nervous about
I
them.
Do.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
And Facebook as an entity, I think really promotes the Facebook Lives.
They do.
So it's
do.
Definitely if you're a brand, it's a strategy.
It's a good way to reach people. And it's more effective than just putting up a regular post. So
Yeah. All right. This was fun.
Well gosh, that we just covered all like 10 years of social media.
Yes. Okay, so now listeners, you have to come interact with us on social media. Either personally or the Mom Hour or Life Listened. I'm everywhere. Megan, you can track her down. Get her on Twitter.
I'm Megan Francis everywhere. So yeah. Well, everywhere I am.
Everywhere you are.
I'm not everywhere anymore.
Not on
I
the
think
Snapchat.
I gave up on Pinterest. And I'm not on the Snapchats.
Oh, Pinterest.
Yeah. Oh, Pinterest.
We didn't even say anything about it. No, we don't even hate Pinterest like people hate on Pinterest. We just don't.
Yeah, no, I don't care.
I know. And both of us are like that, which is so funny.
I know.
All right, guys. Well, hopefully this was another little fun More Than Mom for you guys. We were hearing that people wanted more of these, but we didn't want to take up the time of our well thought out parenting and motherhood
So we decided just to show up every now and then and wing it. So that's
exactly.
This.
Exactly. That is what this was. So on Tuesday, we'll be back with a regular episode. And very soon, we'll be back on a Sunday morning with another one of these.
See you then. All right.